banners unfurling, megaphones booming, and we are canoes blocking coal ships. We are the radiance of solar villages. We are the fresh, clean soil of the farmers' past. We are teenagers, blooming petitions. We are families, biking, recycling, reusing, engineers, building, dreaming, designing, artists, painting, dancing, writing, and we are spreading the word. And there are thousands out on the streets, marching hand in hand, chanting for change now. And they're marching for you, baby. They're marching for us. Because we deserve to do more than just survive.
You've been listening to Kathy Jetno-Kajener from the Marshall Islands. For the whole poem, go to democracynow.org. That does it for our broadcast. Juan Gonzalez will be speaking at Governor State University Sherman Hall in Chicago. Happy birthday to Jessica Lee. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for a public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal for Friday, September the 26th, 2014. Fall is here. Yes, it is official. Is that the 21st or 22nd? And, of course, big election coming up on November 4th. And our WHFR Journal continues with interviews with challengers, not incumbents, and third parties, not so much the big parties. Because you can't hear them on any other station. Why? I don't know why. They don't want legally qualified candidates to be heard. And, of course, WHFR doesn't sell political commercials, so we don't have to play favorites. We don't have to be nice to people that have a lot of money. We can be nice to everybody more or less equally, except, of course, we don't have time in our little 1 hour a week to get everybody in. My name is Jay Koronick. I'm station advisor here as well as host of the show. Happy to be with you today along with John Conroy, who's our WHR news director. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay, can't hear that. Okay. Keep talking.
Okay, thank you, Jay.
No, that's not it. Okay.
Okay.
They got the cords plugged wrong.
Oh.
So take this mic, John.
Okay.
Always a lot of fun. In fact, if you listen to this show regularly, and I know you do, you know in the first couple of minutes we always get a surprise with our phone connections, our microphone connections here in the studio. So that's not great. Let me see here. Now, John, say hello.
Hello, Jay. It's good to be back.
Okay, that is a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not so sure. I'm going to work on this, and one reason I can work on that is because today, in our effort to continue to spread the words about candidates that, you know, are challengers, not incumbents, we have a pre-recorded interview. I did it actually middle of last week with Scotty Bowman. He's the Libertarian candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Now the governor. Candidate, the candidate for governor of the Libertarian Party, Mary Buzema, she was interviewed on the show on September 12th. And you can listen to that from our website, whfr.fm. But how often do you hear a lieutenant governor, what they have to say? And of course, Libertarian Party, a lot of people have no idea what they stand for. And if you did know, maybe you'd want to vote for them. Maybe you would want to definitely not vote for them. But if you don't know, how do you know? I think Donald Rumsfeld said that. You don't know what you don't know. And when you do know it, then you do know it. But you didn't know it before you knew it. Well, and so on. It's a conundrum, but yeah, that's what he said. And we believe some of it. Okay. And later in the hour, too, we have an interview with Mark Schauer, well, Democratic Party candidate for governor of Michigan. And that was done at Dearborn Homecoming. And because that show was not pre-recorded, I did record the interview, though, and I thought you might want to hear it. Again, he's a challenger. I know it's a big party, and they got political ads on TV right and left. But he was the only governor candidate that came to Dearborn Homecoming, and we had a few minutes with him. So we're going to start this first half hour with the interview with Scotty Bowman, and that's B-O-M-A-N, because we just had a Bowman.
Terry Bowman.
That's right. A Republican candidate for governor who was on the 19th on this show last week, in fact. Soon we forget. And that, again, show file is archived as a podcast at WHFR.FM, too, if you'd like to hear that over again. But spelled differently, not Scotty Bowman, the hockey player, Scotty Bowman, the Libertarian candidate for lieutenant governor. And here's that interview right now. And it is an honor to have a lieutenant governor candidate from the Libertarian Party here in the WHFR studios, Scotty Bowman. So welcome to WHFR. Scotty, tell people about yourself.
Thank you, Jay. Well, I'm born in Detroit and have been part of Libertarian Party of Michigan since the late 80s. I'm a professor at Wayne Community College District and at Macomb Community College, and most recently here at Henry Ford Community College. I teach math, physics, and astronomy as my vocation, and my avocation is mainly working for liberty in the political realm.
You've been a candidate and a member, for that matter, with the Libertarian Party in Michigan for a few years now, and so you have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge. What attracted you in the beginning to the Libertarian Party? Obviously, it's not one of the two major parties in this country.
Well, there are a lot of things I didn't like about the way the established system had been going. Is, you know, way back, I was politically conscious fairly early in my life. I was a child during the 60s, and when I started to come of age in the 70s, I started to become more interested in politics and what was going on around me, and I didn't like a lot of it. I saw the current system as militaristic. I saw it as oppressive and controlling of individuals. But I didn't really understand what the alternative was. And simply in a rebellious tone earlier in my life, I was really more bent toward communism, quite bluntly, and because that was what the establishment that I didn't like said that was the enemy. And I figured, so if, you know, my enemy's enemy is my friend kind of thinking, which was flawed thinking, as it turns out. I read a lot of literature. And a friend of mine really pressed upon me a book called Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal by Ayn Rand, which I thought was, you know, at first very laughable title just to begin with. And I read the book, and when I closed that book, I was a laissez-faire capitalist ideologically. And ever since then, I have supported minimal government and maximum choice for the individuals.
Mm-hmm. The Libertarian Party is different than the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. A lot of people think it's mostly Republican in nature. But in fact, I think the Libertarian Party has tried to make the case that, well, first of all, most people who are in Michigan anyway, independents, or they call themselves independent voters, that's the majority of voters in Michigan, that if they were given, there's something Libertarian Party has, I know it's called the world's smallest political quiz,
yeah,
and it's only about 10 questions, something, not very long, and you can actually see where on a spectrum you come out, whether it's left-wing, right-wing. Libertarian Party is not really left-wing or right-wing in the old sense of the traditional parties.
Right, yeah. The chart that comes with the quiz is something that bears the name the Nolan chart, named after the designer of the diagram, David Nolan, the late David Nolan, who I had the opportunity to meet on a couple occasions. The idea is that you have one axis that represents the level to which you believe people should have economic freedom, and you have another axis that represents the degree to which you believe people should have personal freedom, in other words, lifestyle choices, liberties. And using that scale, if you have it normally set up like a horizontal vertical graph, then the upper right-hand direction would be the direction that the more libertarian people would take, and the lower left-hand direction would have been the direction that the more authoritarian people would take. Since then, the diagram has been tilted so that the authoritarian is down, libertarian is up, and then right wing is to the right and left wing is to the left, and thus making it kind of in line with people's concept of the left-right spectrum.
There are some people, Ralph Nader is one, for example, that says there's really not that much difference, in effect, from the Democratic Party's decisions about things and the Republican Party's decisions about things these days. Is that because they've become very similar? Or, I mean, certainly there's individuals in both parties that are not part of the majority view of their parties, but still, is that one of the reasons to consider the Libertarian Party, do you think?
Yeah, so if you look at the establishment of both of the major political parties, what we find is that the people who actually get their way most of the time are almost identical on a broad spectrum of issues. In fact, going back to that quiz, when we had used it, we went and found most people were actually in the either in the libertarian quadrant or the liberal quadrant when we were in a fairly liberal crowd, which was at an event called Dally in the Alley in Detroit a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think probably if we had been at a conservative function, or we'd probably find about half the people there in the libertarian quadrant and half of them in the conservative portion of that diagram. What was funny is we then did the same quiz for Barack Obama and John McCain and found that they both ended up deeply into the authoritarian portion of the diagram and on exactly the same square. So the people that were perceiving themselves to be radically different from each other also perceived the candidate they were supporting as being close to them. But in fact, neither one of those candidates was close to most of the people voting for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem then. I mean, in terms of trying to find out who to vote for to make a difference in this country and to change policies for something better. How would you say the so-called Tea Party are related then to the Libertarian Party?
Well, first of all, there's a variety of different groups that fall under the umbrella label Tea Party, yeah. And they usually take that on. It'll usually have something like, for instance, maybe where they're from, followed by the suffix Tea Party Patriots, for instance, to identify with that movement.
There's no organized Tea Party.
No, there's not.
No.
There is something called Tea Party Express, for instance, that was a Republican PAC.
Right.
There's a group calling itself Tea Party Patriots, which is another PAC, and so on. There's all these different groups, and they all kind of get called Tea Party groups. Now, what I could say would be a common thread is if you go back to the origin of that label, is the Boston Tea Party and a rebellion against taxation. And that represents also an overlap between conservatives and libertarians, as we both are opposed to taxation to one degree or another, or at least both want less of it, or say we want less of it, I should put, because I'm not sure all the conservatives really want so much less as they say. But in any case, what I'd say is a lot of the people in those groups identify with libertarians and a lot of other ones simply don't. But they're together, and I think they have certain matters in common that would make, you know, for instance, opposing taxes, maybe opposing gun control. Those are items they would hold in common, a libertarian and a conservative hold in common. Sticking to the Constitution insofar as the limited government Bill of Rights part of it goes, I think, well, to some extent, conservatives would agree with libertarians on that, though it might depend on which particular liberties we're discussing. So I think there is enough overlap that we often find libertarians in those groups, but we also find people who are clearly not libertarians in those groups.
I want to tell our listeners that we are talking today to Scotty Bowman, who is the lieutenant governor candidate in the state of Michigan in the November 4th election. And he's a member of the Libertarian Party. And that's right. There's Libertarian candidates on the ballot. The governor's candidate is Mary Bazuma.
Yep. And Mary Bazuma is my running mate. I'm the lieutenant governor candidate. And interestingly enough, just happens to be that the party offices we have follow a similar format in that she's the chair of the party and I'm the vice chair of the party.
Well, that's one way to work it out anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. and we hope to get her to be on WHFR Journal too in the upcoming weeks. Or maybe by the time this pre-recorded interview airs, maybe she'll be on first. So no disrespect there. I should also mention your name, Scotty Bowman. You're not the hockey player.
Correct.
Although somebody's bound to vote for you thinking you are. And right now, too, there's another Bowman. Terry Bowman is Republican running for Congress in the same district as Debbie Dingell is, John Dingell's wife.
It sounds like Terry Bowman of the Union Conservatives.
Yeah, I think that's his connection.
Yeah, yes. I've met him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. an interesting guy.
Yeah.
I actually participated in a campaign. It was a debate that was hosted by that group back when I was running for U.S. Senate in 2012.
Right. So, but you're not the same person just because the last name is Bowman.
Oh, yeah, no, right.
Okay. That was
one thing, my name doesn't have a W in it.
Right.
Most Bowmans have a W in
yes,
their last
like
name.
Yes, like Terry's. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go back to the Libertarian Party and then look at some state issues the Libertarian Party might have a very different stance on. I first joined, in the sense of full disclosure here, the Libertarian Party about 15, 20 years ago because I felt it was a party that was mostly anti-war, that just personally, I didn't think it was a good idea to be the savior of the world, and sometimes for no good reason, like Vietnam, in my opinion. In any event, so I like the stance on no useless or unnecessary wars of offense around the world. I noticed that the Libertarian Party today issued a statement, again, against getting further involvement in Iraq or Syria. In terms of problems with drugs in this country, the National Party is, of course, is against the so-called war on drugs and a more responsible policy. I assume that when we get to the Michigan angle, that maybe legalization of marijuana is something that the Libertarian Party would be in favor of?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're pretty unanimous in the legalization of marijuana. In fact, I mean, our platform really calls for legalization of all drugs, but I mean, we've got to be realistic and work with one item at a time. And I think if people can see how things work out with the legalization of marijuana, we may be able to have a discussion about other matters. There's other problems involved with some of the other drugs that would require maybe a different process or avenue to go in that direction. But the legalization of marijuana, it seems like it's pretty much a straightforward matter at this point. There just is really nothing indicating that any of the hazardous effects that are associated with the other drugs that people are more afraid of really applies to marijuana, other than being intoxicated or impaired in some way mentally. That would apply to pretty much any of the recreational drugs or drugs of, you know, some people call them drugs of abuse that are around. And so as long as one is not operating dangerous machinery or vehicle that can endanger others, then there's no reason that people shouldn't be allowed to use these things, especially in the privacy of their own home.
Mm-hmm. Last point about the National Libertarian Party is certainly they've taken very, very strong stance against the government intrusion into private lives, whether it's the so-called Patriot Act. I mean, it is called that, but that, after 9/11 was put in place, doesn't have too much to do with patriotism and takes away some of our basic liberties, as in my opinion, that are guaranteed in our Constitution. And, of course, the National Security Administration, the NSA, is doing all that snooping all the time right now, whether it's the internet or your phone calls. And the Libertarian Party is the only party that has said that's just got to stop. It's just basically wrong.
Yeah, we're across the board, we support privacy. And the thing is, there's already a constitutional process for if there is a good reason to invade people's privacy that already exists. And that's what we should stick with. We shouldn't have to go beyond that. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, like, again, if there's not a reason to violate somebody's rights, then you don't do it. You only do it when you feel that somehow you have reason to believe this person is, in fact, a danger to others.
And of course, the right to being charged in the political system and a speedy trial and a right to counsel. I mean, certainly nationally, that hasn't been happening very much. If you're thought to be a terrorist, they can just grab you in the middle of the night and take you away somewhere. So, but those are national issues a little bit more than local issues.
Well, they could be. There is such a thing as nullification, which is there's been a growing movement for nullification at the local and state level, whereby local city, everything from a local city council up to state governments can take a stand that they are not going to facilitate federal efforts to impose indefinite detentions.
Right. Okay. Let me touch base with you on some of these other state issues that certainly the two major candidates, if I can call them that, from Democrat and Republican parties have been talking about, and that is funding of education, corporate tax structure in Michigan, who is the most supportive of a clean environment, emergency financial managers. Just jump in there wherever you want to talk about the Libertarian Party stance on some of these state matters.
Yeah. Education, we favor having education in the hands of the parents, the individuals, the people paying for it who are actually getting the education being closest to that. People have their money taken and then distributed back with the promise that it's going to be done effectively, but of course then it's out of their hands and they don't really have a choice when it isn't handled effectively. Currently we have our money going all the way up to the state level and filtering back down. We'd like to see a return more close to the communities and ultimately to the families and the parents themselves as to how their education dollars are spent, which effectively means basically removing it from it as a tax issue.
What about statewide assessment efforts in terms of learning skills, whether it's Common Core or state mandated like the, I think it used to be called the MEEP scores?
Yeah, I found those to be terribly destructive because what we have here is a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter approach to education. It fails to recognize that people are individuals. It removes the chance for innovation so different school systems could try out different approaches. And for instance, even with the MEEP, for instance, I had a case where I was teaching a math class, and it was my firm conviction that a student could learn better learning geometry before algebra. And in fact, I was taught that way in the private school I attended, Detroit Waldorf. And so I was trying to apply that technique, and the administration of the school was very enthusiastic. But then came the MEEP test. And the MEEP test insisted on testing people on algebra skills early and testing them on geometry skills later. And therefore, I had to conform to the MEEP test in my instructions.
Yeah. Yep. What about the emergency financial managers? There's so many cities in Michigan right now. I think there's at least six, if not eight, that are in some stage of being managed by the state of Michigan. And the state, according to the law that Governor Snyder put in place and the legislatures with him when he took office, the cities are not that are involved right now, they didn't ask for this help directly. The state said, we think you're in trouble. You're not bankrupt yet, but we think you're in trouble. We're going to take you over. And then, of course, legally, all of the elected officials don't really have any power unless the state wants to give them a little power in some way.
Yeah, I believe people have a choice when they go and they vote and they elect their local leaders, and they should be allowed to feel the consequences of their choices and not have the state somehow say that we know what's better than you do as to who runs your communities. Communities are geographically small, and while moving is difficult, if really people can't stand a community, they can get out, whereas the state is a much larger entity. We believe in people being able to choose more locally what happens in their community as long as they're respecting the rights of their neighbors. And the state takeover is really a wrong approach. Now, the flip side of that is the state would say, well, you're benefiting from the state being willing to help out when you're in trouble as a city. So if we're going to help out, then we need a say in the matter. That's the counter argument. And what I'd say there is that the city should be given more independence both and take more responsibility for their decisions so that the to remove the justification the state has to intervene, but at the same time not be perceived as parasitic by the rest of the state on the people abroad. Like, I mean, go outside of Detroit, I constantly, oh, you're from Detroit, we're tired of paying for you. That's what they say to me. I don't really think that's the way it's happening, but it's a perception that's created because of the way things are set up.
Right. Sometimes I think that the people who were in charge of Detroit over the last maybe 20 years kept hoping for even more money from the state rather than fix their own problems.
Yeah, that is a big problem. That's part of it is when there's a fallback plan in place, the fallback plan, it ends up entering the back of people's mind as an option instead of a last resort.
What about the environment? Last, about a minute. What can you say about the environment? It's so big in 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. I think people need to, we believe that people should be free to do what they want so long as they're not violating other people's rights. So if what you're doing is somehow contaminating other people's property or the air they breathe or the water they're drinking, then there's a need to intervene. But unless that's being shown in a demonstrable manner, there isn't a reason to just arbitrarily have lots of regulations ahead of time. So I think right now we have clean air, and you know, some of that has been due to some necessary intervention, but I don't think we should go overboard with it. I don't think we need to keep changing fuel economy standards. I'm not into the man-made global warming hypothesis, and I am a science person. I do study these things. I don't, and if there is such a thing, I don't think the intervention is necessarily the way to fix it. So I'm for free market choices whenever possible.
Well, we're going to have to sum up now. There's so much to say about the political parties in Michigan that are not covered by the commercial media. But in terms of Libertarian Party, there's certainly websites. I have them written down here. The national party is LPLibertarianParty.org, pretty easy to remember. And the Michigan website is either you can go to it through the national website or it's MichiganLP.org.
Yep.
That's what you'd recommend for...
Yeah,
or all information.
I also think it's easier sometimes to remember mi.lp.org.
Oh, that works too.
Yeah, it's a subdomain of the national, but it goes to the MichiganLP.org. It's shorter.
Okay. mi.lp.org.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool too. Okay. Well, I certainly wish you the best of luck in trying to get the message out about what is the Libertarian Party and what choices you folks would make when in office that would be different than the Democrats and Republicans. Because I think people should realize there are some viable choices here. It's just they don't hear about very many of them. And so I'm happy you were able to spend the time with us today. Scotty Bowman, candidate for Michigan Lieutenant Governor November 4th. So thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. And again, this whole show today, along with our other WHFR Journal shows, will be archived at our website, whfr.fm. Just click on Talk Shows, then click on WHFR Journal, because that's the name of the show, and then pick the date of the show you want to listen to. I often try to put down the names on that list of the main guest, too. But if I don't get there in time, you just have to remember the date. All right. So Scotty Bowman of the Libertarian Party running for Lieutenant Governor. In a few moments, we're going to go right to the Mark Schauer interview that we did back at Dearborn Homecoming. He was the only candidate for governor that did show up at our Dearborn Homecoming, and we got a chance to interview him briefly there. I'm trying to track down information. I heard on WDET that at Wayne State University on October 12th, there's going to be a public forum with Snyder and Schauer. Whether or not that's going to be broadcast, it's not technically a debate, but people from the audience will ask questions, which means there won't be a balanced assortment necessarily of questions. And then Snyder and Schauer will respond one way or the other. I'm fairly sure it's going to be October 2nd, but I do not have any confirmation that it might be broadcast by one channel or another. I certainly hope it is, because that'll be the only debate I know of. John, do you know of any other televised debates? Terry Lynn Land and Gary Peters are not debating at this point.
No, there was one in Taylor yesterday for candidates running for Board of Education in Taylor.
That's all good, yes. And as a segue to that, as they say in radio, following that, of course, next Tuesday, we're very excited we're going to be, you and I, perhaps both, will be at a forum with 11 candidates for the Dearborn Board of Education. Three seats are open. Only three, and three incumbents are not running this time. So there's no incumbents. Well, there is a woman who formerly was on the board, but is not currently on the board, who's running again. I won't mention any names right now. I don't want to play any favorites out of 11. We're going to try to get the audio of that. I assume it'll be about 2 hours. It's starting, oh my goodness, at 6 p.m. Board forum starts at 7, and that's at the what I call the Ten Eyck Center, the Dearborn School's administrative building. It's just off Outer Drive, and it's on Audette, technically, just south on Southfield. Turn right on, what the heck is it? Outer Drive. Yes, and just go down until you see Audette and turn right. So it's the Ten Eyck Center. That's where this forum with the 11 candidates of the board is going to be co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters in Dearborn Public Schools. And as I said, we're going to try to get the audio of that approximately 2 hours and run that on WHFR. We'll let you know when that's going to be broadcast, because if you can't get to that forum, I do believe it's going to be on cable TV. They're taping it for cable, but some of you may not have local cable, or it's too hard to find out when it's going to run on local cable channel. And I think if it does run, it's only going to run on Comcast, because WOW does not have as many of the access channels available to it. So unless it goes on the city access channel, that video, we won't see it on those of us who subscribe to WOW instead of Comcast. So we'll try to get that on WHFR too. Next Friday, very excited, we have another candidate for governor that you probably never heard of, Paul Homeniuk, who, it's H-O-M-E-N-I-U-K. He's the Green Party candidate for governor. That's right. And we'll talk to him about what is the Green Party and what does it stand for and why should we go green? Why do you want to save this planet? I mean, we only have to live on it every day, right? I mean, that, you know, that shouldn't be a priority. A priority should be killing people, killing other humans right and left, and killing them with pollution and bad food, too. Why? I mean, of course, I'm being ironic here, folks. Don't quote me. Remember, all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford College. But I try to be ironic, and maybe you catch my tone, but over the radio, sometimes tone doesn't come across, so I'm telling you I'm being ironic, and it should be quite obvious what the Green Party stands for, but maybe you didn't know more about it. Again, just like with the Libertarian Party, they are challengers, not incumbents, and other radio and TV stations, for some reason, are not talking to them. They're not doing their public service, I think, responsibility, their civic duty. I think radio and TV stations should have a civic duty, not just a profit motive, and they're not being given the time. I'm not saying they have to be given as much time as people buying all those political commercials, but they're not being given any time at all or any discussion. Yet there are a verifiable candidate who, if they got enough votes, would be your next elected governor, for example. So Paul Homeniuk will be here next week, along with a special interview about our virtual theater lab and their next production coming up in November, Dinosaurus. Mm. So we've got the head of the theater department and maybe some other folks there to talk about that for a few minutes on the show, too. And it is National College Radio Day next Friday. Woo!
October 3rd.
So be sure to tune in to your favorite college radio station. And it better be us, because I'm the one telling you about it, right? And, of course, every day is special to listen to WHFR. Okay. Got to move on, though, folks. All right? This is new WHFR Journal. And for Friday, September 26th, Jay and John with you here. And we're going to move on now to just a couple stories from John real quick. And then we're going to go into the interview with Mark Schauer, Democratic candidate for governor.
Well, thank you, Jay. Property owners affected by the August 11th flood can now apply for federal assistance beginning yesterday, September 25th. Dearborn property owners impacted by the flood on August 11th are encouraged to apply for federal aid through the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, as of Thursday. Mm-hmm. Federal assistance is available for both residential and business property owners who qualify under the FEMA rules.
Okay, who do they apply to? Maybe you flip it over or something there. But yeah, this just came out from the city of Dearborn, so it won't be in the paper for a while. You do have, I think, about a month to get the application in, but who do they contact? I know FEMA, you said, but
the media contact is Mary Landroche.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mary would know. Call her. She's in the new City Hall, and everybody knows where the new City Hall is, right? It's not where the old one is. No. A lot of people are still going to Schaefer and Michigan Avenue. The City Hall has moved now. It's not, all those offices are not in that building anymore. Mm-hmm. Trust me, so many people. That was a top story in the Press and Guide this last weekend, too. It's moved. It was over there since the 23rd. And so don't go to the wrong place. If you have any questions, supposedly you can walk right in, and there's free parking out the back behind this building. I biked over to it yesterday, although unfortunately there's no place to put my bicycle. They have no bike rack. So I hope they get that, because I'm trying to be sustainable and help the environment. And what am I supposed to do? Lock my bike to the mayor's limousine? I mean, what am I supposed to do? He doesn't have a limo, but I think he does have a big car. I think, anyway. Okay. So it looks like you can register online at www.disasterassistance.gov. And there's also a FEMA 800 phone number, and I know you probably can't write it down. You can even get it, you can even register on a web-enabled mobile device. They must have an app for this, at m.fema.gov. So that's a mobile site that you can get on your smartphone if you've got one. So, and again, the city, you must apply to FEMA. The city of Dearborn cannot even forward a claim to FEMA. So you can get apply for immediate grants for temporary housing or home repairs, low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses and other programs to recover from the effects of flooding. So you need to contact FEMA. That's disasterassistance.gov, or call FEMA, or just go to their main website too, which would just be, with any computer, FEMA, FEMA.gov. Okay, so we did our duty there. Obama did approve, President Obama approved this on February 25th, so everybody can start getting help if they need it. They also have a toll-free telephone number, as I said, that's good from 7 in the morning till 9 at night, 7 days a week, about this. So whatever you need to do, if you need help, again, the city of Dearborn has no role in determining if individuals qualify for federal assistance.
September.
And there's a special art gallery expo opening tonight, John.
Yes, this is HFC's Sisson Gallery is hosting a reception in honor of the 20 artists who have worked on display during the Krampus exhibition. The exhibition is today, Friday, September 26th, from 6 to 10 at the Sisson Art Gallery. The work of artists that features the Krampus is on display in the Sisson from now until tomorrow, September 27th.
Yeah, it's only a one-day or two-day exhibit today and tomorrow. We talked earlier. You want to tell them who or what Krampus is?
Sure. The Krampus is a monster originating from the folklore of Alpine countries. This monster punished naughty children and carried them off in his sack to his lair during the Christmas season. This is the opposite of St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, who rewards well-behaved children with gifts.
Yeah, so if you've been bad, the Krampus will get you. Now, again, this is Northern European countries?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So luckily we're not in Northern Europe. But it's inspired some artworks and apparently Christmas cards.
Christmas cards, yes.
Very dark, if you know what I'm saying. Very that it wouldn't be fun to get a Krampus card, I don't think. Anyway, maybe as a joke. So they're having a big reception tonight in our Fine Arts building right here on the Henry Ford Community College main campus. And the Sisson Gallery, because I know who it was named after, his former president here at the college, Paul Sisson. Anyway, I got that wrong. But anyway, it's going to be in the gallery inside the Henry Ford College Fine Arts Building, or Fine Arts Center, if you will, tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. And free refreshments.
Free refreshments, and as usual, parking is free.
Yeah, right. So that should be fun. We have more stories that we have to get across to you quickly after this interview with Mark Schauer. I mean, yeah, the surveys say that he's tied for being our next governor in the polls anyway. And what matters is who votes and who you vote for. So we're just trying to give you all the choices out there. Schauer does not have as much money, even though it's a big-time Democratic Party, as Snyder and the other Republican funders from around the country. So let's take a listen to our interview from Dearborn Homecoming.
This is Jay Koronick, broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming, the 35th annual Dearborn Homecoming, and we have a lot of special guests here this weekend, and also, of course, politicians that want to, first of all, tell you to get out the vote. You know, the primary is important, but also the November election. And very, very special guest, the Democratic candidate for governor in Michigan, Mark Schauer, is right here with me now. So, welcome.
Great to be here in Dearborn with you.
Oh. It's great to see you. Are you getting out to a lot of the events like this, trying to meet the people?
Absolutely, and carrying my message of building a Michigan and building an economy that works for everyone, not just for a few. And we start by supporting and making education our number one priority.
This is Jay Koronick, broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming, the 35th annual Dearborn Homecoming.
And building an economy that works for everyone, not just for a few. And we start by supporting and making education our number one priority.
Okay, we got some gremlins here, folks. What happened? It looks like our interview is stopping at a certain point, and then it started to play back again. So let me take a look here and see what, see if anything's happening. I will try the interview one more time.
This is Jay Koronick, broadcast.
Priority and my number one budget
forward
priority
it a little bit.
Is to repeal the Snyder job-killing retirement tax because, one, it does break a promise. My dad is a retired teacher, so I know exactly of what you speak, and I meet retirees all the time that are paying $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 more a year out of their pocket in this tax they didn't budget for and didn't expect. But here's the thing. It takes money out of their pockets that otherwise they would be spending in Main Street businesses that hire Michigan workers. So, and it was all to pay for this $1.8 billion corporate tax giveaway that's not working. I mean, we have the third worst unemployment rate in the country here in the great state of Michigan. And so when I'm governor, I'm going to repeal this retirement tax, repeal tax increases on working families and on low-wage earners so they can take that money, support their family, put it right back into the economy to create jobs.
Are you taking a stand on Proposal 1? We're talking to Mark Schauer, the Democratic candidate for governor, right here at WHFR booth at Homecoming. Proposition 1 seemed to be a compromise between Democrats and Republicans. Is that the best deal we can hope for? But this is basically a further tax cut for big business, all businesses.
Well, and my wife used to own a small business, and I heard her complain about the personal property tax, and it's a very inefficient tax. The industry, big manufacturers like Ford Motor Company pay it on every new piece of equipment, small businesses on every computer or desk or whatever, so it's a very inefficient tax. It does discourage investments by businesses that usually then results in new workers that they hire. So I think it's counterproductive to getting our economy going. I want to add that I was in the Congress with John Dingell. We helped rescue the auto industry. So I'm a huge supporter of the auto industry. And by eliminating personal property tax, we're going to support the auto industry. But Proposal 1 is important because it will be on the ballot on Tuesday, August 5th. So it is the replacement mechanism for these revenues that would be given up by eliminating the personal property tax. So it's done in a couple of ways, earmarking part of the use tax dollars that go to the state general fund, creating a new assessment for manufacturers. But I support Proposal 1 because I think we ought to eliminate the personal property tax so we can create more jobs. But we must replace those dollars to local governments for police and fire services, for our schools, our libraries, et cetera. And that's what Proposal 1 does.
I know our local mayor, as most mayors, but Mayor O'Reilly in Dearborn, he's a big supporter. He's worked on this issue with the legislature for years to try to get something fair, and also that the money that is needed to keep the cities going, too.
One other issue you want to bring, I know you're going to meet a lot of people here tonight. We don't want to hold you up too long. But one of the things that I heard, too, and some people say, yeah, but a Democratic governor, if the Republicans are still going to have large numbers in the legislature, that's not going to work out well. Jennifer Granholm had that problem in her last term. But you've got some experience working with the other side.
I do. I always represented battleground districts. In fact, I'm a Democrat that represented Republican districts. We need a little common sense and actually someone that knows how to make policy, how to work across the aisle, how to solve problems in a bipartisan way. Frankly, this governor has been very ineffective in one of the top priorities, and that's fixing our roads. He has a legislature of his own party, but I think there's going to be change this year. Look, it's Rick Snyder and his party that cut $1 billion from public education, including cutting money to higher education, raised taxes on retirees and on hardworking families, all to give a $1.8 billion corporate tax giveaway that's not working. And it's hurting families and hurting seniors, hurting our kids by cutting schools. So we're going to change our priorities here. I think we're going to elect more people who value public education, want to create an economy that works for everyone. I'll just close with this. I'd like people to learn more about my specific plans. We've talked about a number of them here. My website is markschauer.com, and it's S-C-H-A-U-E-R, markschauer.com. And they can go to markschauer.com/ and read my jobs plan. I just presented a very specific 10-point jobs plan to create an economy that works for everyone, in Michigan that works for everyone, not just a few. So I hope folks go to that and check it out.
Do you have a local office that you know in the Dearborn area right now that's open?
There is a Dearborn office that is the Michigan Democratic Party office. We work out of that office, and if people want to come and volunteer, knock on doors, make phone calls, pick up a yard sign, go to my website, markschauer.com, and there's a link for yard signs. That's a place where they can see, they can get the address and go visit our campaign office and get involved.
Well, that's great. It's great to see you, Mark Schauer, and hope you get the word out so that people really learn all the choices they have and that they can make a difference, but they got to vote, first of all. And
exactly.
I also have to say, I had Governor Snyder on my show when he was running for governor the first time. Never could get a specific answer from him. And I've never heard you, I mean, there's some things you just can't say because you don't know. You don't have enough information. But thank you for giving us some specifics today, and we'll look forward to more details.
You're welcome. I look forward to it myself. I think the public deserves to know what a candidate plans to do. I've laid out very specific plans, and I hope people check it out and will vote for me so we can help turn around our great state of Michigan.
Thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure.
Go visit everybody else at homecoming.
Right.
So thank you for coming down here.
Thank you so much.
That's okay. You're welcome.
Pleasure. There's my card.
Appreciate it. Okay. So, of course, we're not endorsing Mark Schauer here, but he came by. Governor Snyder is not here. We would have interviewed him, too, if he had come by. But he came by with George Durrani, of course, and Gary Warrenchuk, too. They're all here together visiting with people at Dearborn Homecoming. So thank you for letting us quickly break into programming at WHFR. And we'll call back with more homecoming reports. A lot of things still happening. We still got an hour and 45 minutes to be here. So back to the studio. Thank you.
And actually, we're now back at the live studio. We did a little time machine trip from August the 3rd of this year all the way to today, which is September the 26th. And Jay and John with you here, the new WHFR Journal. We're still live. And that was the interview at homecoming, as you know, with Mark Schauer. And maybe that's why he's tied in the polls. He got out and about a little more because the political commercials are pretty much equal, although the Republican Governors Association, whoever funds that, whether it's the Koch brothers or whoever, they got a head start in trying to attack Mark Schauer, which I should say, as I said on the show last week, the Truth Squad out of the Michigan Center in Ann Arbor, they analyzed the facts, and whether it's Schauer ads that he authorized or somebody else authorized, ads for or against Schauer, ads for or against Snyder, they're all committing major fouls and fallacies now. So you need to spread the word, and you yourself, don't watch these 30 or 60 second political commercials. At this point, at least for the governor race and for the Senate race, they're all pretty much lying or heavily exaggerating in a way that's unfair. That's according to the Truth Squad. I've never seen these kinds of warnings come out of the Truth Squad before about they're just going wild with statements because they know that a lot of people listen to it and they love those negative ads attacking somebody. Ooh, they're attacking somebody. They must be really bad. Well, heavily exaggerated and false on both sides. But, you know, I'm sure whoever started it, and actually it was started by the Republican Governors Association in attacking Schauer. That's who started it, if you really want to know. But the only way to survive in the political world, this is a political fact, if you're attacked by a negative ad from the other candidate or the other candidate's henchman, you have to stand up strong and attack them back. That's the only thing that works. You've got to counterattack. And that's sad. Why can't you just take the high road and continue talking about what you want to do in a positive way? But if you do that, you're going to lose. I mean, talk to any political science instructor who has researched this, any political consultant. If you don't attack back, then those people that believe the first attack against you, they're not going to be, they're going to think you're chicken or you know, you're afraid to answer the charges. And the only way is not to really answer the charges even, because that make you look weak. Well, he must be lying when he says he's not a crook. The only way is to attack the other person back with some other charge. And that's the only way to counteract the first attack. Whether it was fair, whether it was true or not, you've got to attack back with something that maybe is not quite true or exaggerated yourself. What a dirty business. This is not the way to find out about candidates. And so you've got to tell your friends, and I know you might believe what I'm saying, although what I'm saying might be wrong. Check out Bridge Magazine, bridgemi.com or .org, I think it is. And or just you can just search for Truth Squad Michigan. Okay, and it'll pop up the information of their research on all these ads. Don't listen to political commercials. Yes, debates, forums, and WHFR interviews, that's okay. All right. In fact, I have a rule here, no negative statements about the other candidates. When we talk to candidates, they can talk about other parties or issues in general, but they must not attack the other candidates or I'm not going to let them finish.
All no right. Mudslinging.
Right, right. Whether it's exaggerated or even if it's true, I don't care. Even if you can prove the guy's a crook, take him to court. That's what I say. don't waste our time on the air. I think it should all be about you as a candidate and what you're running for, what you're standing for, and what you'll do when you get in office. I think that's the way campaigns should happen in the best of all possible worlds, of course. Other stories we have here. John?
Yes.
Give me a couple then in our remaining 10 minutes.
Well, our President Jensen, Dr. Jensen, is going to appear on Michigan Matters so this Sunday, the 28th at 11:30, hosted by Emmy Award-winning reporter Carol Kane. It's going to be broadcast on CBS Channel 62 at 11:30. Certainly want to encourage everyone to view this program, and Dr. Jensen's appearance on this program is great exposure for HFC, and he was also on our radio show 3 weeks ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he was on the 29th of August. So you can go to our website, listen to the podcast. Dr. Jensen on our 8/29/14 show of the WHFR Journal. Very good spokesperson for the college and new here, but he got us out of debt and we're on a new high road and had to cut a lot of salaries, cut a lot of benefits, including his own. But we're really moving forward now. Future-driven, as the slogan says, so whatever that means.
And one last sentence is that the Office of Marketing and Communications will send a link to the online video early next week following the broadcast on Sunday.
But they'll just send it to college employees, unfortunately. Although you might see the story on the website homepage. That's hfcc.edu. I think it's there. Or they'll be going up shortly. I just got that today on my email that he's going to be on TV this Sunday. Channel 2, as it used to be called, it's actually 62 now, CBS in Detroit. Check your cable company. Some cable companies are putting 62 on too. on your cable channel. So, because that's what they used to be for years. So why not? Okay, good news for the animal lovers of Dearborn. The animal shelter is going to get a new facility. At least it has been now officially approved by our Dearborn City Council, meeting in the new building. They're granting the property of the old train station, which it'll be moving sometime, end of this month. Sometime they're going to officially open the new train station. I don't think I know what that date is when they have the official opening. I'm looking to attend as a media rep on that first day because it's usually free food, of course. And maybe they'll give us a little free trip to Chicago or something just to prove the trains work. Yeah. I'm looking for that. Anyway, so they get the old train station area, and that's a good spot. Depending on how they develop it, I think it'll be a little noisy right next to the tracks. So maybe they'll soundproof the wall if they're going to build it. And it's going to be a fairly big building. But so the land is worth about, they say, $400,000. They're giving that to the Dearborn Animal Shelter, the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, who operate the shelter for the city. But it looks like, from the way I read the story in the Times Herald, this from this last Wednesday, September 24th, is that they're also giving the shelter $600,000 towards the new facility. Still, the article says, they still have to raise $2.5 million before they can even start to build. The whole building will cost $4 million. So after they get it built, they need another $1.5 million to put something in it. Because it's going to be larger and better, and they can't just move over the pets without, you know, all the cages and all the desks and everything to fill up the space. So, big project. I'd love to find out. I know they constantly, every month, they have events to support the Dearborn Animal Shelter. I know that October 24th is the Black Tie and Tails dinner, as they call it, at the Dearborn Inn to raise money for the shelter. It's $175 a person, but you get free dinner for each of you, and all kinds of politicians. Debbie Dingell's going to be there because it's before the election, and of course Mayor O'Reilly and many others will be giving presentations, and that's a big fundraiser every year for them. But now they've got to be focused on, they need another $2.5 million. So if there is a rich person listening and you'd like to have your name on the new shelter, that'd be wonderful. Just write that check and get it done, as they say, for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. The new facility is a go, but they need the money. So let's see what we can do. Who else needs the money? Dearborn Historical Museum has to raise their own funds these days, pretty much. The city is not funding them really anything, I don't think, anymore. I could be wrong about a few pennies here or there. But they're doing another beer tasting. If you remember, John, they had a beer tasting a few months ago there. Must have been pretty successful. And I guess they didn't have any drunken people getting into accidents on the way away from that. So they're doing it again. It's tonight from 5 to 11 p.m. If you're interested, I don't know the amount of money you pay to get in, but you get a few samples of different beers to taste. And you can buy more if you want it. So for those beer lovers out there who know how to control their urges and their problems, then that's at the Dearborn Historical Museum in West Dearborn off Michigan Avenue tonight. I wanted to commend, it's in the Press and Guide from this last Wednesday, the Montessori School, which is out Dearborn Heights way. It's a private school, The theories of education are very well founded, developed in the 1950s by Maria Montessori. You can read her books if you want to. My daughter went to a Montessori school at the beginning, not this one, but another one that used to be in Southgate in the 1970s. Very successful program. And even here at Henry Ford College, we run the K-12 daycare version of Montessori. It's a Montessori program. It's daycare and instruction both. You could just be here for the daycare at the facility on the Henry Ford College main campus. We have our own separate building for the child care facility, but they also do the K-12 Montessori school for those kids before grade one. It doesn't go to grade one. There are Montessori schools like in Dearborn Heights that go, I think theirs goes all the way to grade six, if you wanted to keep your child, if you could afford the tuition. But I think it's a very, very quality program, certainly for before first grade. I highly recommend it personally for that. Anyway, what did they do? September 21st is the International Day of Peace, celebrated around the world. It's a UN-designated International Day of Peace. How much peace was there on the 21st? Not very much, because you know, now we're bombing in Syria as well as Iraq against ISIS or ISIL or whatever they want to be called, Islamic State, which is a misnomer because most Islamic followers, worshipers, including Muslims in Dearborn, do not support them at all. I mean, they are even the leader, Khomeini, somebody or other of Iran, the religious leader of Iran, issued a statement that these are a bunch of crazies. Well, he didn't use that term. You know, he was much more distinguished. But who were given guns by the United States. I mean, most of the weapons that ISIS is killing people with right now, I'm not sure about the big swords they use to behead people, but the big guns that they're using came from us. I mean, we were outfitting a bunch of rebels and fighters, and you know, and so they just stole them, and they're using basically our guns. And a simple fact, and this is, do some reading, folks, about this. After 6 weeks of bombing, you know, we've got these big bombs, and we've got a lot of planes, and we've been bombing ISIS like crazy, only in Iraq, though, for the last 6 weeks. And how much have we accomplished? They still control the same areas they controlled then. Okay, they didn't get the dam, and they didn't get some other strategic areas. Didn't they have some people sort of forced up a mountain that we had to sort of save from being killed and slaughtered or something? Some people who weren't, I don't know if they were Christians or some other Muslim sect that were endangered.
Yes.
But so I think they're okay. But the point is, all the bombing for 6 weeks, and ISIL is still there, and they're still a threat. And maybe because they're in Syria, too, and they're having a lot of success there, because some of the Syrian rebels that we were, like, supporting against Assad, who is supposedly the big dictator in charge of Syria, they kind of like ISIL, too, because they're against Assad also.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not getting total support from the so-called moderate alternative politicians in Syria who want to go after Assad. Well, if you're going to kill Assad, we're going to kill him too. So why don't we both work together to kill him? Well, now we're bombing in, it's just crazy. I think it's crazy. Personally, John, you can just nod your head one way or the other. They can't hear it. Good for the Montessori school in Dearborn Heights. And as a pacifist myself, philosophically, for decades, I can't understand all the violence. And just like I wish Valentine's Day was every day of the year, and Christmas too.
Yeah,
we probably couldn't afford all the presents every day, but I'd like to get the presents every day. Respecting mother, respecting father. I think those days should be every day of the year, okay? And Grandparents' Day.
Yes.
Nobody sent me a card on Grandparents' Day, and well, that's okay.
Well, even Sweetest Day is coming up. Must be sometime.
Yeah,
soon,
but that was totally manufactured by the candy makers of the U.S.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's not a Hallmark. It's an ad agency ploy. So I suspect that seriously. But Day of Peace, why not every day?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we got to kill the bad people first. No. That's not going to work, and it hasn't worked so far. But Obama's approval rating is so much higher now that he's attacking those bad people, but no boots on the ground. But still, is he doing it for the... Some people say, why is he doing it? Folks, the midterm elections are coming up, and if he makes the Democratic Party look better, look stronger nationally, more Democrats will automatically, not any reason here, but they will automatically be able to benefit from his coattails, if you will, even though he's not running. Okay? So I heard a whole discussion on radio to say, well, why is he doing this when he's so anti-war and getting us out of war?